Welcome back.
Oh, yeah, man, how you doing? You good?
I know you like that.
I know you like that.
I like that. I know you like that.
And so welcome back to the Urban Cafe on WMNF 88.5, 40 years radioactive. This is your host, Joshua. Got Don Scott in the studio, and we got Tammy Schamberger, representative from Hillsborough County School Board District 5. And Tammy, we do got a caller. Let's go ahead, who's been patiently waiting. I'm going to go ahead and bring that caller on the air. Good morning, caller. What is your name and where are you calling us from?
Yes. I'm calling you from Gainesville, Florida today.
Hey, I'm Billy.
University of Gainesville. Yeah, I'm here taking a class at the University of Florida.
Good for you.
All right. Lifelong learning, we call it.
Here's
the question, Mrs. Schamberger. I'm a little upset with her, just a little bit, not too much. But the point is that I think what's happening in our school, the major flaw that I see that's happening in our school that can create all these different districts, is that these kids lack an understanding, and all these kids lack an understanding of civics and civics. In science, and particularly, these kids have no idea. You ask these kids about government or international government, the functions of government, whether it's, you know, the local, judicial, and Senate, and that sort of thing, they have no idea. So we need to restore some sort of civics into our elementary school, into our school system, because it is ridiculous what is happening out here. And they expect these kids. I'm running into people, grown folks, okay, that don't understand the different branches of government. Something is simply municipal government. And then you're going to ask them to participate and stuff. And these kids, you know, they've taken this type of course out of school for almost 10 years. And now these same kids are now 23, 24, 28, and they have no idea of how government functions. And then you're going to ask them to go vote. Another thing that's happening in our schools, and we seem to have, you know, set up what we call educational apartheid, where certain districts have math and science and a level of math and science that will then take them before, you know, will take them farther in advanced training in terms of physics and medicine and dentistry and those sort of kind of things. And what is really disturbing is that there are districts, you know, we're talking about poor and rich. There are places in this world, in Brazil, Panama, the Congo, Zambia, places in South Africa, Cuba particularly, where these countries are far more economically poor in terms of the United States, but yet they make it a goal to teach science and math in their school system. And along with that, if you go to Cuba, for example, they make it a very important point to treat arts, music, dance, and those sort of things and stuff. So that, but this is at all levels. And this is at all levels.
And so, Billy, do you have a specific question for Tammy?
The question is, Mr. Tammy, you know, what are we doing about that? I mean, we seem to have this, you know, you have to go to a certain school here to get this type of education, you know, learn about math and science. Another school here, where you've got far away, where you got to bust in and get dance and music, and we remove our instrumental music program, we remove civics, and then we want to know why our kids are running around here. The only thing they seem to be knowledgeable of doing is playing a video game and stuff, and we're destroying our society from inside by removing certain programs. Again, I call it medical.
So Tammy,
what are you doing about this, Tammy?
Yeah, what are your thoughts on the educational curriculum?
Yeah, well, thank you for all of that. And I didn't hear some of it, so let me just, I hope I answer the question.
Well, let me say it again. We need to teach instruments. We need to begin to bring forth civics training in our school system. We need to start to bring forth arts and science, music education, instrumental, orchestra music into all school. We also need to talk about science and math if we're going to talk about, you know, changing this world and
Okay, got it. Thank you for that.
All right, Billy, let's give Tammy a moment here to reply.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. I definitely agree. Listen, as an elected official myself, when you talk about the need for civics, of course I agree with that wholeheartedly. The problem with that is that our government, who prescribes or dictates what has to be taught into the schools, they have put more emphasis on testing than they have with allowing us to truly prepare our students for life, whether that's civics.
Tammy, you cut off there. Are you there?
Oh, I still hear him talking.
Oh, okay.
You want me to keep going?
No. You're good. You're good. You can go ahead
okay.
and continue.
Yep. So whether it's civics, whether it's, you know, financial literacy courses, whether it's whatever it takes to really prepare our students for life, we've gone away from that model, unfortunately, and really are focusing on these high-stakes tests or testing like the FSA. But one thing I will give Governor DeSantis credit for is the fact that he is mandating more civics be taught in the schools, because right now it's just a seventh grade, one elective course, and that's all they get. We have to teach our kids how to navigate life, again, not only with civics and financial literacy, but we ought to be teaching our kids about laws and how to obey laws and what happens when you break laws. You know, especially in the social justice world that we live in now. But here in Hillsborough County, to this point, I am very proud that we do offer robust choice, whether it's arts or is career technical education, all the way through zoology. Like here in Hillsborough County, we really run the gamut in our traditional public schools of course offerings. And so we're very focused on all of those things. I tell you, we outperform charter schools, we outperform private schools when it comes to offering choice here in Hillsborough County. We understand the importance of all of it. And so we actually do that very well here.
Because I think we may be outperforming private schools. We're not outperforming the world. And we're dealing with a world and that world around us and stuff. When you have kids, you say, well, you know, Governor DeSantis, we're worried about testing. Of course, that testing protocol is failing America, and it's failing our kids in public school, and it's failing us in this world to the point where we have a guy who's in office. He doesn't understand civics. I mean, he doesn't even understand how to, all he got along. But the point is we have accepted this type of mediocrity for years. Tammy, it's not working, and I need you as a elected school board member to address it. That's what I'm talking about here. And I'm at the University of Florida, okay, and I'm taking a class it relates to science and math. The only reason that I'm able to take that is this class. On this type of training, because I had good science and math programs when I was in elementary school. These programs have now been eviscerated, and we're talking about testing. The testing is not working, and what it does, it is designed to fail certain students, and other students can just barely get by. And even some of our most so-called brilliant private schools are failing and failing.
Billy, we do have to let you go.
That's what I have to do. Well, I know I have to say something here because, I mean, I just don't hear what I'm hearing from Miss Tammy here. I'm upset.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Billy, for that. We appreciate that.
Let me just address that. I mean, so
all right, go ahead, Tammy.
This is like certainly a quick show, but he's right on some points. You know, listen, this is when, if these things make you unhappy, you only make change by making your voice heard. And so it's important that on November the 3rd, you use your vote, right? We need to, from the presidential all the way down, really change the system if we're going to see change. A lot of this is dictated at the federal level, right? We need to make sure we have a president and a commissioner of education who really put a focus on education. And so as a board member, we spent a lot of time in Tallahassee advocating with our state legislators. We meet with the governor. We meet with our Department of Education commissioner and all the chancellors. And we spent a lot of time in Tallahassee actually really advocating for those exact things that Mr. Billy spoke about. but just know that we're all on the same page fighting together. This takes all of us to effect change, certainly.
And thank you for that, Tammy. And Billy, something was going on with the audio. We do appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much for tuning in, as always, to our show. Tammy, and that is a question. So exactly how does the Hillsborough County School Board impact curriculum? Or is that under the superintendent?
Well, it's actually dictated from the state level, right? The Department of Education. So remember, every school district reports or is accountable to the Florida Department of Education, who is led by
Richard Corcoran. Yeah.
Right, our Commissioner of Education. Public education is very prescriptive. They tell us what has to be done down to how many minutes, literally, I'm not exaggerating, how many minutes of instruction we must give every student. And so while locally, we know what courses we're mandated to teach, there's some flexibility in which curriculum that our teachers will use, like what books we buy for our students to teach that particular course. But it is largely dictated at the state level what we must teach our students. There's very little room for flexibility in that, unfortunately. Although, there's some time, sometimes different principals will implement different programs. But this is really us just being held accountable to the state on what we must really teach our children.
So have you heard from, Tammy, have you heard from other parents or similar to Billy? Billy's obviously very passionate about the civics part of it. Have you heard from other parents saying, hey, you're not teaching my child enough math or enough civics or enough science? Like, has that come up in conversations as in your almost 4 years?
Oh, of course. That's almost daily.
Really?
You know, there seems like, especially as a Black board member, I get a lot of calls about, Black history or African American history being taught in our schools, not just as an elective, but, we've been actually working over the last few years to try to mainstream more of it. Folks want financial literacy, right? They want the kids to be able to balance checkbooks and keep a good bank account and understand what credit means. We have folks like, back when I was in school, we had home ec.
Yeah,
that would teach you, life skills and how to sew on buttons and how to bake a cake.
Mm-hmm.
Our families are really passionate about having their students come out of school prepared for life. And I tell you again, our shift has gone from getting kids ready to live in this real world to really just being good test takers. And that's something that I advocate strongly against. And we really want to try to change. But, we get this literally on a daily basis.
Thank you for that, Tammy. And you know what? It's good for me. I don't have a child, and so I'm glad that parents are asking these questions and demanding this for their children. That's fantastic to hear. And Don has a question for you, Tammy.
Tammy, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm good.
So here, I have a couple questions. I'm not going to hit you with all of them at one time. I'm just going to do one. I would normally see you out and about during campaign season. I just wanted to know, what is it like campaigning during COVID-19? I know I'm not hosting any candidate forums or any candidate events. So I'm just curious, what is it like out there? And is it, what's it like?
Well, this campaign season has been very different solely because of COVID. No, especially for me as a COVID survivor.
Oh, that's right.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That story came out. That was, April?
It was horrible. So I'm a little trigger shy about, getting into crowds. Still to this day, I had it, a few months ago.
Yeah, I remember that scene out in the Tampa Bay Times.
Yeah, it was horrible. It was really bad. But, I have been going to schools because I must show my support for our hardworking teachers and the students. But listen, campaigning has been very different. Generally we're out doing forums. We get to go do the fun task of knocking on doors and holding conversations with constituents and things like that. And now all of that has really changed. And so while we try to do a little bit of door knocking, everything now is virtual in terms of forums. Generally if this was pre-COVID, I would probably be in the studio with you today.
True,
but that has really, all of that has changed. So it has made it a little more difficult because that to be a successful candidate, you have to get your message out and you have to be heard.
Right.
Not being able to get in front of people for them to actually see you and hear you has been exponentially difficult.
So how are your constituents getting a hold of you?
Yeah, that was my next question. How are you reaching out to people?
Yeah, we still do a little bit of door knocking, but okay. We're heavy on social media, of course.
But not talking about the candidacy. My question is more about, you know, your current role as a board member.
So I see. So, listen, the thing we've always done, democracy requires participation. We certainly encourage all of our constituents to stay connected to us through our school board meetings, which happens generally twice a month. They're always televised, right? You can watch them live streamed on cable or on live stream on our website, or they're on cable. Or you could even come down to the auditorium. We have our CDC guidelines in place. But then we've also created a heavier presence on social media as well, on Instagram, certainly on Facebook, and things like that. We talk about things on shows like yours. But we really try to go to where the parents are and really stay connected with them by any means. You know, what I've done recently, football season is now coming back, especially with our little leagues. And so although I'm a little trigger shy on the crowd, we still will try to jump out there and just say hello to the parents and, you know, see if they have any concerns. But
okay.
We always have to go to where our constituents are, really.
All right. Thank you for answering that, Tammy. And Tammy, we got two callers. Callers, let's keep our questions short. We're at the end of the show. So good morning, caller. What is your name and where are you calling us from?
Yeah, just let me say this one thing. I'll forever hold my peace. Okay.
Oh, all right, Billy. Make it quick, please.
Just one quick. It's that Ms. Shammer makes one good point, okay, that all politics is local. Okay, but well, we're here that all politics is local. And I just asked Ms. Tammy, that we emphasize from a local point of view that we need to change our testing and go get into our science, math courses, and our civics courses and stuff. And you can do that from a local level, Ms. Tammy. And I just hope you do that. And with that, I'll hold my peace for today.
All right. Thank you, Billy, for calling in from Gainesville today. All right. And Ms. Tammy, we do have another caller. Let's get to that other caller. Good morning, caller. What is your name and where are you calling us from? Caller, you are on the air.
Hi, my name's Thomas. I'm in Tampa.
Hey, Thomas. How are you doing today?
I'm good.
Good. Hey, so what comments do you have or questions for Ms. Chamber?
Yeah, my question was about the zoning, particularly in her district, District 5. If you just look at it, you can really see that it's divided on racial lines, particularly if you look at like Blake High School, how its lines go all the way out, except for Davis Island, so that Davis Island can go to a more affluent school. I was wondering if she had any plans to address those concerns, particularly within her own district of District 5.
Excellent question, Thomas. Thank you. Tammy?
Thank you for that question. You know, so this is politics at its finest. That's called like gerrymandering, right? And so my district is literally drawn around low-income areas, which are generally, for District 5, is primarily black neighborhoods and Hispanic neighborhoods. So you're absolutely right. When we talk about the diversity of the districts, that's just how political lines are drawn around specific interests. And so,
but who draws those lines for school districts?
It's all a part of the government. That's a long.
Is that another conversation, Tammy?
that's a whole other conversation. They should be done every 10 years. You know, now we're in the middle of the census, so we'll start seeing some lines redrawn, but. You know, historically, there's always what's called like the black seat, right? In school board, city council, county commission, there's historically in Hillsborough County just been one black representative on each of those boards, and each represent majority black areas. And so now one thing I do want to say that those are our voting districts. Those are people that can actually cast votes for us. However, we are advocates for the entire community. So I deal with parents at Plant High School just like I deal with them at Blake or Middleton High School. I don't just advocate for District 5. I advocate for the entire Hillsborough County, and I get calls from the entire Hillsborough County. However, people that can vote for me must live in District 5, and so that's really just for voting reasons only, honestly.
And well, to get back to Thomas, do you have any other questions?
Yeah, my question was more about not the District 5 lines, but more just the school boundaries, about how those would
work. School boundaries. I'm sorry. Yeah.
What's a school boundary? I'm sorry for the – define a school boundary for me.
A school boundary is really like the area to which you are assigned to a school, like a neighborhood.
Okay,
right?
Got it.
So if you live in this area within these boundaries, then you're assigned to that particular school. And so that, of course, can create segregation in schools, right? Because you may have, let's just say, a predominantly black area or a predominantly white area, and within those boundaries are only that particular demographic. Well, back a couple decades ago, you know, how that was changed and how we integrated schools was really through school choice or magnet programs. And so now you'll find that kids are just bused all across the county to really mix them up. Something is good, something is bad. I'll reserve my opinion for another time. But that's really what magnet and the choice programs are designed for, so that there's not just segregated schools. But we do a relatively good job at that. But there are still some schools, like Plant High School, for instance, that is largely, they are largely just a white school. They have a very, very small minority population. And we have other schools on the other end where there are large black schools with a very small white population. And so we definitely have some work to do with that. It would be great if there were no boundaries, but because of, you know, space and seats and availability, of course, there has to be some type of limitation.
Okay. And Thomas, thank you so much for calling in this morning to the Urban Cafe.
Yeah, thank you, Thomas.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right, take care. And so, Tammy, we're at the end of the show here. Any last things you want to say to our listeners out there who are tuning in right now?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me on this morning. It was certainly a great conversation. Thank you for all of the good questions. We certainly want you to participate in education, whether you have kids in school or not. Education is everyone's responsibility. It determines the future and the strength and the sustainability of our communities. And so we also want you to follow the business of the school district, because your tax dollars fund us. And so we want you to make sure you're participating in our school board meetings. You can tune in every other Tuesday, or you can reach out to any of your school board members if you have any questions. We are here to make sure everyone in our community is doing well. But thank you so much for allowing me to be on this morning.
And Tammy, how can people get in touch with you and your campaign and all of that other good stuff?
Yeah, if you want to learn more about me, if you want to support my campaign, please go to www.keepcamara.com. That's KEEPTAMARA.com. You'll have my contact information on there as well. Or if you want to contact me through the school district, you can go to hillsboroughschools.org. Go to the school board section, and you'll have all of my contact information there as well.
All right, excellent. Thank you, Tammy, so much for being our guest today on the Urban Cafe. Great conversation.
Yeah, thank you, Tammy.
Thanks for having me.
You take care, Tammy.
Be good.
Bye.
All right, and so you've been listening to the Urban Cafe on WMNF 88.5. Next week, we have Andrew Warren, the current state attorney for the 13th Judicial Circuit. We are going to have Sheikh Washington. He's a candidate opposing Tammy in a few weeks after that. Just a ton of great shows coming up. And so you've been listening to the Urban Cafe on WMNF 88.5, 40 years radioactive. We got the Sunday Forum with Walter and his crew coming up, Alvaro, etc. But before that, let's